This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As thought follows, my dear respected brothers in Islam, تقبل الله منا ومنكم وكل عام وأنتم بخير. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Yani this is the first chance we had to offer our congratulations for Al-Eid, so we did so. Inshallah ta'ala, in a few minutes, I wanted to share with you what can we learn from Ramadan since we finished Ramadan. What a person knows in his worldly life, whenever you finish a worldly task, or any time a person finishes a task in life, he learns a lot from it. Whether it was something got to do with business, or it was something got to do at work, whatever it is in life, generally when people finish a task, they look back at that task and they learn a lot from it. For our matters of worship are more important than our worldly matters. Matters of worship are more important than worldly matters. And as a result, when one finishes a matter of worship, he's supposed to ask himself the question, what did he learn from it? Because we know in our matters of worship, we're supposed to increasingly grow and grow spiritually closer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the only way you'll be able to do that is if you consistently were monitoring your worship, that it gets better and better every time. So this is why it's very important for you and I to ask the question, what did we learn from Ramadan? What lessons did Ramadan teach us? What life lessons did Ramadan teach us? And how is it going to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In 4 points, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we'll share this lesson. And the first one of them, and this is the biggest lesson that Ramadan taught us, these 30 days and these 30 nights, the biggest thing you're supposed to come out from Ramadan and learn was that Ramadan teaches us worship is a way of life. That worship is actually a way of life, and it's not limited to 30 days and 30 nights. That's what worship is. It's a way of life. You saw in these days, 30 days of fasting, continuous fasting, non-stop. You'll never do that other than Ramadan, other than if someone had to make up for something, an expiation, and 30 days of praying the night. From Al-Eid until now, how many rak'at have you prayed after Isha till Fajr? You ask yourself, we're not here to judge anyone. But the idea is that in Ramadan, there is so much effort put other than any other month, which is fine, it's normal, this is what is required in Ramadan. But you are supposed to learn that Ramadan was teaching us, with all this worship during the day and during the night, that worship is actually a way of life, and it is not limited to a few days in your life. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she described the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, she said, كَانَ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرِ, that when the last 10 nights of Ramadan would commence, أَحْيَا لَيْلَهُ, he would bring his night to life. How does he bring his night to life? Meaning the night is dead. How did he bring it to life? He brought it to life by worship. So he remained awake the entire night, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal by a salat he used to perform. Aisha radiallahu anha's word in this hadith, which is the secret, is ahya. He used to bring his night to life with worship. Yani without worship, a person is dead. Without worship, a person's day and night is dead. Ahya laylahu. Aisha radiallahu anha, in another interesting hadith, she explains and describes the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first moment of the day and last moment of the day. What did he used to wake up upon and what did he used to sleep upon? So you can understand what were these two important points in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says in a hadith, كَانَ إِذَا قَامَ وَثَبْ, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to wake up, Yani the first moment of the day when he would open his eyes, his description, she described him by saying, Wathab. Yani he jumped out of bed. He sprung out of bed. كَأَنَ إِذَا قَامَ وَثَبْ. The word Wathab is heavy. He used to quickly jump out of bed. Yani unlike today, someone would wake up, rub his eyes for a few minutes, maybe then sit on the side of the bed, maybe then yani, and it's become an attitude, check the phone before he even gets up, and then by the time he pulls himself out of bed and drags his foot to the bathroom to make wudu, هذا if he woke up, كَأَنَ إِذَا قَامَ وَثَبْ. He jumped out. Why? Why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why is he jumping out of bed and springs out of bed in this attitude? Then the one who wants to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would realize that he doesn't have a second to waste. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately as soon as his eyes opens, he's up. And the first thing he would begin with is as-siwak, and he would say, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi al-nushur. That's the first moment in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many worships did he do? He jumped out of bed. He started with the siwak and he began by saying Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, when we say Alhamdulillah, it's when we acknowledge and recognize a favor of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon us. Usually, most of the times, we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for favors upon us. Allah Azza wa Jalla gave you something. Allah Azza wa Jalla alleviates a problem in your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you with a child. Allah Azza wa Jalla makes your marriage easy. Mathalan, need these blessings in life. You say Alhamdulillah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is he saying Alhamdulillah for? Yani as soon as he opened his eyes, what's the gift that he has been given for him to say Alhamdulillah for? It's the gift of living another day. It's the gift of living another day and having another chance to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. For Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recognized that this is a gift that I don't necessarily deserve. Or did anyone guarantee that you deserve to live one more day? Anyone among us can say, I deserve to live one more day, one more second, one more moment. No one is entitled to anything. Lakin Allah Azza wa Jalla, he gives. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rush to say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana. The one who gave us life after he had caused death upon us. Wa ilayhi al-nushur. This is the first moment in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recognizing Allah's favor upon him. So he rushes to thank Allah by establishing worship. So he began with a siwak, and then he would pray raka'at, night prayers, as much as Allah Azza wa Jalla has allowed him to pray. This is him thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of time. And the last moment in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, that just before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would close his eyes, he would say to her, Ya Aisha, Inna عيني تنام ولا ينام قلبي. He says to her, O Aisha, my eyes, they sleep, they take rest, they'll close. ولا ينام قلبي, and my heart doesn't sleep. That's the last moment in the day of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. His heart doesn't sleep. What does this mean? Yani meaning his heart, how can it sleep when it's connected with Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah Azza wa Jal keeps it alive. Allah Azza wa Jal keeps it awake, keeps it connected. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleeps upon good intention. He sleeps upon the intention of waking up to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. He sleeps upon dhikrullah, adhkar al-nawm. He recites them before he sleeps. And he plans what he'll do at night. Now unfortunately today, the situation is different. People today, not only their eyes close, but the heart sleeps as well with them. And maybe the heart is closed before the eyes. And then you wonder why a person struggles to wake up at night, struggles to wake up for Salat al-Fajr. The heart is sleeping. Back in the past, there were no alarms on the phone. The alarms did not wake people up for night prayers or for Salat al-Fajr. Their heart would wake them up. No alarms, no times. How did you wake up? Allah Azza wa Jal wakes them up. The heart is pure. It's sleeping upon a pure, sincere intention. Allah wakes it up. Today, unfortunately, one alarm, another alarm, multiple alarms, snooze, all of that. Well, he's still sleeping. The heart is sleeping. It's got nothing to do with alarms. Waking up for Salat al-Fajr has nothing to do with alarms whatsoever. It's about the person's relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. What did he sleep upon? Did he sleep upon a sincere tawbah? Did he sleep upon a sincere intention to wake up? And then if Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted from him, he didn't need anything. Allah Azza wa Jalla would wake this person up. The attitude has changed in how we wake up and how we wake up. فإذا Ramadan, the first of its lessons, it's teaching us that worship is a way of life. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's days and nights. So in Ramadan and outside Ramadan, Aisha radiallahu anha's hadith, when she described the first moment of the day and last moment of the day that we just went through, wasn't only limited for Ramadan. This was every day of the year, that's how it was. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We need to understand, my brothers in Islam, for people that Allah Azza wa Jal has given so much, something is expected in return. We're speaking about our situation here, people in the masjid. People that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us so much of His blessings. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in Surah At-Tawbah, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ. Listen to the ayat and understand what's happening in the ayat, Surah At-Tawbah. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ. Allah is speaking about people that He gave so much and so much from His fadl, from His gifts and blessings and bounties. He gave us health, He gave us time, He gave us a place to live in where there is security and safety. You come to the masjid and you go the way you want, you're not worried about anyone around you bothering you. You eat what you want from al-halal that Allah Azza wa Jal has provided for you. Everyone knows these da'abani. Because we became so used to it, we think now it's something that we deserve. We think it's something that we deserve. Allah Azza wa Jal gave it to you today, tomorrow He can take everything away from you. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ. When He gave them so much, He said, بَخِلُوا بِهِ. They became stingy. They became stingy. What does it mean to become stingy? يعني for every blessing they became stingy. And one of the biggest blessings Allah gave you was time and health. So in other words, بَخِلُوا بِهِ, one of its meanings is they became stingy in their time for Allah Azza wa Jal. They became stingy and miserly with their time for Allah Azza wa Jal. When Allah Azza wa Jal would call them to pray in al-masjid, I didn't have time. When Allah Azza wa Jal would call them to worship, I didn't have time. When al-imam or when al-du'at would explain to the people the importance of reading the Qur'an, now we understood, but I don't have time. When there's a lesson organized, come, sit down, attend. Learn something about Allah, learn something about your deen. Well, I didn't have time. Subhanallah, he didn't have no time. Where did you find the 2 hours that you had for WhatsApp every day? The 2 hours, where did you get them from? 1 hour on Facebook scrolling. Where did you get it from, that 1 hour? 2 hours on TV watching and asking for more. I wish the show didn't end. Where did you get this time from? Heather, these hours, where did you get them from? And then when you're called to worship, just come to the masjid, just pray half an hour and go home. 15 minutes and go home. I didn't have time. I didn't have time. Problem. بَخِلُوا بِهِ. Do not be stingy in your time for Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to somewhere, go. Be there. It's not a matter of it's an obligation. Sunnah Allah, should I go? Allah can pray at home. It's not that. It's the attitude of being grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal for blessings He's given you. بَخِلُوا بِهِ. They became stingy. Next step, وَتَوَلَّوا. خلاص, bit by bit they turned away. وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. They're not interested anymore. تَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Turned away from the worship altogether. Now he assumes it's however he wants to worship, he worships. He's got a mind of his own. Now today we want to read Quran, tomorrow we don't. Tomorrow we'll pray in the masjid, tomorrow I don't. Of course, I'll take it easy, my own way. what happened to him eventually? In the next day, it says, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They became hypocrites. Allah Azza wa Jal, he casted inside of their hearts nifaq. Now there's two meanings for fa'aqabahum. What aqabahum? What's the thing that gave them hypocrisy? The ulama, they said, it is Allah Azza wa Jal who made hypocrisy inside their hearts. And other ulama said, it is the fact that they became stingy with Allah, their stinginess gave them hypocrisy in their heart. Stinginess with Allah Azza wa Jal results in hypocrisy in the heart. And end of the ayah, بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, because of what they used to lie, the lies they used to make. When you used to say, I don't have time for Allah, you lied. You knew yourself best, and you lied. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted from you something in return for these blessings He's given you. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا. It's a problem. It's a problem. The attitude of worship is supposed to be an open attitude. This is time for Allah, brother. There's no such thing as, I don't have time for Allah. Change the attitude. Allah wants you at the masjid for salat. You come running. Allah Azza wa Jal wants you for salat al-jum'ah. And He's telling you, the one who comes early, it's as though He's given a camel fi sabilillah. You come early. Spend that time fi salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wants you to engage with the Qur'an and keep that continuous connection. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ, then read. Give that time, doesn't matter, give the time. Time that Allah gave you time, give it to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, so you can understand why we're supposed to keep in contact with worship. He says, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ كَمَا يَخْلَقُ الثَّوْبِ. Hadith sahih. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that al-Iman in a person's heart, لَيَخْلَقُ. يخلق meaning it wears and it tears and it weakens. في جوف أحدكم, inside one of you. كما يخلق الثوب, just like a dress would wear and tear. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith is comparing iman to a dress you wear. شوف أنا, the disaster is this, that if I was to wear this abaya here, if I was to wear it for the next year straight every day, what happens? It's going to get ripped from here, discoloring from here, down the bottom. Let's say I never washed it. A button is going to rip, surely. It's not going to stay in the same fashion it'll be on day one. By the end of the year, it's gone. People would look at you, now what an embarrassment. Don't they are still wearing these same clothes? Go change them. Like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith is saying that al-Iman, the same thing happens to it. The same thing that happens to clothing that's worn for a year, exactly is what is happening with Iman. But you know where the disaster is? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ. It wears and it tears inside of one of you. Then you cannot see it with your eyes. If people can see it, at least they would have warned you. If you can see it outside, at least you would have known that your Iman is dying, that your Iman is weakening. You're supposed to do something about it. Lakin al-musibah, the disaster is inside, it weakens inside. No one is going to point it out to you. You're the only one that's going to know about it. For what's the solution? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says at the end of the hadith, فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He renews, that He replenishes this Iman inside of you. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He renews it. Now what does that mean? Yani it means you're constantly supposed to be monitoring al-Iman and looking for ways in how you're going to renew al-Iman. Yani once a week, memorize an ayah of the Qur'an. Khil ayah fills the heart, Iman, it does. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانًا. Ayat al-Qur'an increase in Iman. It renews and refreshes Iman. Huh? There's one path and one avenue. How many ayat have you memorized since Ramadan finished, during Ramadan? Al-Qur'an is not only for scholars that go overseas and study, or people that go overseas and study. Had that wrong understanding. Al-Qur'an is for all of us. Memorize, open the Qur'an. Memorize an ayah in the intention that Allah would renew this Iman that is beginning to weaken and wear and tear in the heart. Memorize it in this intention. An ayah a week. Give a sadaqah. Pray something of the night during the week and avoid singling out Friday nights, there's a hadith against this, which is our Thursday night. Attend a lesson a week. The lessons they do, they actually renew iman in the heart. Yani al hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was in a gathering of knowledge, he was giving a lesson, and there were three people. One of them, he saw the lesson, so he came and he sat in the circle and he attended the lesson. The other person, he looked at the circle, he became shy, so he sat on the side, back on the corner. And the third person, he walked, he didn't seem to be interested, or he didn't have time, and he walked off. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the people, shall I inform you about these three people? Yani, shall I inform you about their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal? Amma al-awwal, as for the first person, fa'awa ila Allah, fa'awahu Allah. As for the first person, he sought protection with Allah. Yani, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the lesson, the gathering, as a place in which a person seeks Allah's protection. The lesson, it gives you Allah's protection. It protects you min al-fitan that are outside. Wallah, when a person sits in a lesson and listens and hears and understands, learns a hadith or two, an ayah or two, he walks out stronger than what he came in with. Then the heart has been charged with an ayah. He's protected min al-fitan that are outside that will face him that day or that week. For Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as for the first person, awa ila Allah, he came to seek protection with Allah. Yani, these lessons are like military training camps. This is what they're like. They train you how to deal with the outside world. For what's the result for this person? فَآوَاهُ اللَّهُ. Allah gave him the protection. Allah gave him that protection, gave him that increase in iman, renewed his iman for it. And as for the second person, استحيا فاستحيا الله منه. He was shy to get into the gathering, so he sat on the side. So as a result, Allah became shy from him. What does it mean? If Allah is shy from someone, meaning his dua becomes accepted. Meaning that person that sat on the side, his dua was accepted. Shuf min barakat, attending a lesson, is that the dua is accepted. هذا من بركة الدرس. From the barakat of attaining, of sitting in knowledge, and in circles of knowledge, is that a person's dua is accepted. If that's the person that sat on the side, his dua is accepted. Imagine the one who rushed to the lesson and came close. You know, like Jibreel alayhi salam, when he entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask him questions, he came close to the point where he put his knees to the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Well, hadith of the reward of the person who attends Salat al-Jum'ah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he conditioned dana min al-imam, he came close to the imam and he did not fidget and he did not talk. Then his reward was, yani, for every step that he took to the masjid, Allah Azza wa Jal wrote for him 1 year of fasting all the days and 1 year of praying the nights for that whole year. But one of the conditions was he came close. Coming close in the lesson is something that's required. Had barakat from Allah Azza wa Jal descend upon a circle of knowledge. For that's the second person. As for the third person, for khatar, what happened to the third person? The dangers of the third person. وَأَمَّا الثَّالِثُ فَأَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. As for the third person, he decided to turn away. Not interested, I don't have time. So Allah turned away from him. Allah turned away from him. فَأَعْرَضَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. We're speaking about a companion. We're speaking about a companion that lived in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is there something more important than bringing you closer to Allah? Every moment in your life that you have to be brought closer to Allah, learn something from His deen, seize that moment, seize that opportunity, not only in Ramadan, in every day of your life. And that was the biggest lesson in Ramadan. That's what Ramadan was teaching us. For we need to understand that from time to time we're supposed to be looking at effective ways in how we're going to renew al-Iman in our heart. Then it's going to start dropping, wearing and tearing out and weakening. And no one can do anything for you. And everyone's on his own. Everyone is on his own. Yani the maximum we can provide for each other is to remind each other. That's maximum. After that, an action and worship and sincere intention, all that is for you. No one's going to control that. With each other, we can share a reminder. We can share the importance of this stuff. That's about it. Lakin the rest is upon you. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to renew our iman. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to renew this iman in our heart. Now, there's three more points, but I'm not going to share the three more points. We'll take them bit by bit so we can yani relax and understand what we're supposed to learn in Ramadan. And I intended to share four. Lakin I'm not going to do that. One's enough. Take one, digest it, understand. Inshallah ta'ala, when we meet next, we'll share the second lesson that we learned in Ramadan and how we're supposed to continue with this lesson until next Ramadan. Bit by bit, these lessons, yani wallahi, I believe these lessons of Ramadan are supposed to be shared every week of the year until next Ramadan. That's how much we're in need. The people forget, wallahi, people forget. Now, I'll finish today. We go, people have already forgotten what we said. And people have already, maybe you had an intention now. Maybe you had an intention now that we're going to start praying the nights and I'm going to do the 6 days of Shawwal. You give it 1 hour, 2 hours max, the effect is gone. It's gone. Lakin, this is why there's no need to rush in sharing information. More important than sharing information is acting upon this information. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to do so. Then if Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't give us the ability to do so, you will not be able to do anything. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.